There are, in these readings, wonderful plays on words, and it really is instructive to pull them apart and look at them closely. The first play on words is in that first reading. David, the greatest king of Israel, the greatest general of the history of that nation, has conquered all of his enemies and everything is at peace. And now he turns his thoughts and his mind to God. Not that he didn't know God before. David and God spoke regularly, and David was also a priest. He was not only a king, but he was also a priest, and he knew how to offer sacrifice and, you know, all those kinds of things. But now he makes this decision that he's going to build a house for God. And he says, here I am living in a house of cedar, his palace. Cedar, of course, was very expensive in those days. Stone would have been cheaper. And here the Lord is in a tent. And so I'm going to build a house for the Lord. And Nathan the prophet gets this vision that night, and this is what the Lord says. You're not going to build a house for me. I'm going to build a house for you. And he's speaking of the dynasty of David. Your house will live forever. Someone from your lineage will sit on the throne of David forever. Well, now, that wasn't literally true historically, but spiritually it's true because Jesus, a son of David, is king forever. And so the line of David, the house of David, endures forever. God wants to dwell among human beings. God isn't so much interested in buildings as he is in people. And so he allows David's son, Solomon, to build a temple. But then the problems with temples is you get into the whole idea that all the other nations and the pagan religions had about temples. Temples is a building in which the God dwells. And the God and the influence of that God is limited to that temple. So in the Greek temples, for example, in Athens you had the temple of Athena. And so Athena's statue was there, and they offered sacrifice to that statue, but her power was only seen as within that building. But you see, God, the real God, the true God, is universal, cannot be trapped in a building, is not limited just to Israel, but to the whole universe. And so once they built that temple, then they began to think of God as in that temple. And then years later, centuries later, when they got exiled to Babylon and they saw that temple destroyed, they had to rethink their whole religion. If God is limited to that temple, then what happens to us in Babylon, hundreds of miles away without that temple? They had to rethink everything. And the religion got kind of purified. And they began to realize the universal power of God. So, Mary, in that gospel story, the angel comes to her to announce the birth of Jesus. And she says, how can this be since I don't know man? And he says, the power of God will overshadow you and will come upon you. Now, these are creation images. In Genesis, God, the Spirit of God, breathes, hovers over the waters, hovers over the void, and the breath of God and the voice of God speaks, and he says, let it be, and it comes into being. So Mary is overshadowed. The Spirit hovers over her. You know, see, it sounds like creation. This is a new creation, and Christ is the new Adam, and Mary is the new Eve, and so everything is starting fresh, starting all over again. This is a creation story or a recreation story. And just like God spoke and it came to be in the beginning, Mary says, let it be in me according to your word, and her let it be is the voice of her son in advance, speaking, and the new creation begins to happen. Everything in the universe, everything in God's creation, is the relationship of the giving of the gift, life, existence itself, love. It all flows out from God. It's all the gift of God. Nothing deserves it. Nothing has earned it. It's just pure gift. And in creating humans with intelligence, with soul, created in the image of God, we have the ability to reflect on that, to recognize the gift, and to give it back, to respond, to return the gift. And so it's the gift and the acceptance of the gift. And in Mary, we see, because of her Immaculate Conception, with no reservations, with no blockages whatsoever, just pure acceptance of the gift. And when the gift of God meets that kind of pure acceptance, Jesus happens, incarnation. And this is what the Christmas story really is all about. It's about Mary receiving the gift of God so wholeheartedly that she gives birth to the Son of God in human form. So this wonderful new creation story is also about a house. Mary's womb is the house. She houses the Son of God in her body. Now, that Son, Jesus, dies and rises from the dead, but that's not the end of the story, because the end of the story is Pentecost. Jesus breathes that same spirit onto his disciples. So again, you have a recreation story. The breath of God, the Spirit of God, hovers over them at Pentecost, and God speaks, and the church is born. The body of Christ. Because once again, God is not so much interested in living in buildings as in people. Jesus says at one point, "Destroy this temple, and I will rebuild it in 3 days." And of course, the scribes and the Pharisees say, "Well, it took 46 years to build this temple. How are you going to rebuild it in 3 days?" And his disciples later recognized that he was really talking about his body. Because the temple is no longer a building, it's the body of Christ. And since Pentecost, the body of Christ is in you and me. It's in the church. And the church, Christianity has never built temples. There's never any history of temples in Christianity. Church is a Greek word, ekklesia, and it simply means in English, the gathering. In other words, the gathering of the people is the church, not the building. Now, the building can be a nice image of that. It can be a nice metaphor for the church. But we never have believed, have we, that God is limited to this building. This building can be inspiring. It can be a place for us to gather. It can be very important to us. But we don't in any way think of God limited to this building. Because when we go out from here, after having received him, after having eaten and drunk of God, we carry him with us. We are like Mary, birthing, giving birth to God and the world. And so that puts a tremendous amount of responsibility on us. In some ways, we're a little bit like David. One of the reasons David wants to build a house for God is so that he will have a place where he knows God is. It's a way of controlling God. It's a way of saying, "You're here, and I can access you when I want to, but I can get away from you when I want to. I can walk away." And we sometimes do that with the tabernacle. You know, we want to think of Christ as in the tabernacle. And that way, when we walk away from Mass, we can do whatever we want, more or less, because he's back there. It's more responsible to recognize that he's in me. And so, therefore, I have to watch what I say. And I know that I am giving witness by everything I do, by the way I live my life, that I have been called to be the body of Christ, and that Christ's presence in the world is in you and me. And that puts the burden of responsibility on us. If the world is going to believe that God has come into human flesh, if the world is going to believe that it is indeed redeemed, it depends on us to make that believable. Sorry to put such a burden on you. But I don't know any other way to say it. That's just the reality. How do we live up to that reality? Well, it takes a certain effort on our part. It takes daily prayer. It takes an intentionality to live that. But we also know that we are depending on grace. God doesn't just send us out into the world entirely on our own. If we are the body of Christ, we're filled with the Holy Spirit too. And grace goes with us. And so God's grace, God's love is more powerful than sin. And we have to trust that. We have to believe that. And that's how we're going to be a leaven in the dough. That's how we're going to make a difference in the world. We're going to make God believable, not entirely by our own power and our own will, but because we are participating in the will, in the life, and in the love of God Himself.